All right. Hey, obviously we've been back from camp for like a month, but I wanted to take this opportunity since, you know, I'm up here today. You know, I'm running the show. Wanted to make sure y'all got to see that we had a fantastic time and make sure I thanked all of y'all because we had a great time and I know the kids did too. There's a few of them in here. Did y'all have a good time? Yes? Okay. We got some nods. All right, so they had a good time, but yes, thank you for all you gave in order for us to go. It was great, as always, so I appreciate it. But if you don't mind, I'd like to open up this morning in a word of prayer before I get started. Lord God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to speak to your people, Lord, and I pray that you would open up all of our hearts to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it is that time again when Pastor Tyler goes on vacation and I get the stage. And so you hold on to your seats when the youth pastor speaks, like anything could happen. You just don't know. And it's me, so it could get wild in here. So just be prepared. But this morning, before I jump into what you can already see is going to be a wonderful parable from Jesus, I want to tell y'all a story. And this story, if you're in here and you're a student of mine or you volunteer in there, you've already heard it. So, you know, oh, man, but you can. It's a funny one. And this story, if I were to just tell you like what happens and not give you the details, it doesn't sound very funny because in the story, someone gets hit by a car. Doesn't sound like a story you'd want to tell on a Sunday morning. Doesn't sound very good. But it's okay. You know why? One, I can tell it because the guy, he's okay. Okay? He's alright. He made it. He didn't even have any serious injuries. Alright? And, it ends up being very funny. So here's what happened. So I was in high school, right? And, everyone in high school, even the ones that, I have and some of the ones that are sitting right here on this row, you just make bad decisions. Who would say, yes, I made bad decisions in high school? If you don't raise your hand, you're lying. And you shouldn't do that. We're in church. So, you made bad decisions. Maybe not a lot. Some make more than others, but you at least made one bad decision in high school. It's just what you do. That's not a permit to do that, okay? Don't do that. But it happens, alright? And so I was in high school, and at the time, I went to Perry, so right up the road here, that way. And I turned 16, and when I did, my birthday is at the tail end of February, and school only had a couple months left to go. And I didn't really want to buy the parking permit to park at the school. And so at the time, you know, there's that, now it's owned by the county in front of Perry High School right over here. It was an old Piggly Wiggly. And it was abandoned at the time when I was going. And so I was like, I'm going to park in that parking lot right there and not have to pay for parking. And I'll just walk to the school. It's right there behind it, you know. Genius. All right. Now, by the way, they don't allow students to do that. And it's because of what happened when I was there. Now, so I will say I was just an innocent bystander, and I'm not the one who got hit by a car, but I'm just an innocent bystander, and I was walking to my car one afternoon, and there were some less than wholesome people out there goofing off, and they were having this competition between these two souped-up trucks to see who could squeal their tires for the longest, okay, in this parking lot, which is just a bad idea, okay? There you go, bad decisions. And so I walk into my truck. It's not squealing tires, okay? I didn't do that, but I'm walking to my truck. And about the time I get to my truck, I'm kind of watching. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, oh, no, we're all going to get in trouble, you know. So I'm trying to get in. And about that time, one of the tires grips, you know, and it takes off. Okay, like, you know, whoop, and it shoots off across the parking lot. Well, about that time, some poor guy, okay, y'all may know him, so I'm not going to use his real name, all right. I'm going to call him, I don't know, Jethro, I don't know. So Jethro is walking around the corner, and he's just like minding his own business. He's got a binder in his hand, you know. He's just had a long day at school. He's just trying to go, all right? And he rounds the corner around the building about that time. I'm telling y'all, it was like a movie, okay? It's like when you see a movie and something like that happens, how it's just like he had a binder full of papers. Poof! Papers are just flying through the air. And he flips up over the car, and I'm like, oh, well, like this is it. That was it. That was the end of Jethro, okay? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm like, oh, God, oh, now I done witnessed a crime, and now I'm like, oh, no, you know, like I'm sweating it. And, you know, we all go over there to check on him. Before we can even get to him, he hops up, And he's like, I'm cool. And he's just starting to grab his papers. And we're like, dude, sit down. Like, sit down, man. Like, you just got hit by a car. And he's just like, no. Y'all leave me alone. And we're like, okay, all right. And he just gathers his papers and goes. And I'm like, well, I got to get out of here, you know, even though I'm innocent. But I don't know. When you're in high school, you're not that bright. So I'm like, I got to get out of here. So I run and I get in my truck. And I'm like peeling out the parking lot. By that time, here comes, you know, whoop, whoop. It's the resource officer. And we all have to have all these meetings, and it's just terrible. But, you know, Jethro, he made it out just fine. And, you know, I was so worried. I'm like, man, you know, you should sit down because you, in a few minutes, you're going to, like, start spitting out shards of your pelvis. Like, I don't know, you just got hit by a car. Like, it is not good. But he was fine. It was okay. And I left that day with a hilarious story about a guy getting hit by a car and his papers flying everywhere, and it was just a fantastic story. It wasn't a fantastic thing that happened, but it was funny. Now, at first, when I told you, you know, there was a guy when I was in high school that got hit by a car, well, that doesn't sound like a very good story, okay? And for him, it probably isn't. When he tells the story, he's like, man, I got hit by a car once. It was bad. But basically, I had to paint the picture for it to even be appropriate for me to tell y'all in church, other than just a guy got hit by a car. And really, when Jesus is giving us parables, although he doesn't have one about someone getting hit by a car, he is painting a full picture with full context so we can understand what he's trying to say. And so anytime we talk through a parable, we see the Son of God sitting down and trying to make plain the kingdom of heaven. Some things that we would have a hard time understanding otherwise, and the people at the time would have had a hard time understanding. And so he sits down and he gives us these awesome stories, and this one is no different. This wonderful story of the parable of the net, if Jesus had just decided, okay, guys, by the way, the kingdom of heaven is like a net, and then just walked off, everybody would have been like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And or if he'd have just said something like, oh, you know, the kingdom of God will sort everything out in the end. Well, that wouldn't have made a lot of sense either. And so he doesn't do that. He paints a full picture and gives us full context so we can see what he's trying to say. And so this is what we find here. And today's parable, it is just one big fishing metaphor. And so for those of you that like to fish, maybe you'll enjoy this. I don't know. But it's just a big fishing metaphor. And for people like me, you know, I didn't grow up doing a ton of fishing. I did a little, you know. I know a little bit of stuff. But fishing metaphors don't mean something to everybody. But to the disciples, it meant a lot. Some of them, that's what they did for a living. And so this would have been very common for them. But I don't know about y'all. The whole time I was writing this sermon, I was studying for it, I was going through all this, all I could think of, who in here has seen the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? Anybody seen it? Animated movie? Okay. All right. Cool. Some of you. All right. If you haven't, you should. Cute little animated film. You know, it's a kid's movie, so be prepared for that. But it's great. And in this movie, there is a character by the name of Flint Lockwood, okay? Flint Lockwood, he's a shenaniganizer, and he runs around with inventions, and he makes all this cool stuff. And his dad has been a fisherman his whole life, and he can't relate to his son at all, and everything he tells him is in the form of a fishing metaphor. And you get to this one point in the movie where Flint's all upset, and his dad tries to give this metaphor about catching fish, and Flint just goes, I don't understand fishing metaphors. And so, if you're like Flint Lockwood, it's okay. We're going to dive in. We're going to look at this. And we're going to get deeper so we can all understand this wonderful fishing metaphor. So, we're going to look at it, and it's already on the screen, but it starts in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this parable, there's a beautiful picture that Jesus has painted here that's also kind of painful, right? Like it's a good and bad kind of metaphor. It's the kind of metaphor where it's talking about heaven and hell and how everybody's not going to make the cut. And Jesus has actually given this parable in the same chapter as a series of parables. The parable that Tyler spoke on last week, Jesus had just given it to a crowd of people. And then after that, the disciples, they asked Jesus for further explanation. They got him by himself, and they were like, "Hey, Jesus, can you like elaborate on some of the things you said? Like, we really need some extra explanation." And that's where you get this. It's like, I don't know about you guys, but when I need to learn something new from someone, and I just did this recently, actually, with something to do with fishing, so this is funny. But I'll be like, "Okay, cool. I need you to explain it to me like I'm five." And it's because I don't focus real well, and I need that kind of explanation. And I'll be like, "Hey, you're talking to me like I'm really smart. I need you to explain it to me like I'm five." And then I can understand it. And basically, the disciples are like, "Okay, you did a great job, Jesus, but we need you to bring it, you know, we need you to dumb it down a little for us." And so he gives them this fishing metaphor. He gets deeper for his friends and paints this beautiful picture. And this is a really short parable. There's some much longer ones, but that doesn't take away from its significance. It's still extremely significant. The length does not matter. And so today we're going to pick this apart and we're going to see where we fit and how exactly it applies. And so first, if we're going to do that, we need to see exactly who and where we are in this parable, which seems very obvious. I mean, we're not the net. That would be the kingdom, right? And we aren't the boats, which that would preach really well, you know, like, "Oh, we're the vehicles that pull the gospel forward," right? But that's not where we fit in this parable either. We're also aren't the fishermen on the boat. It appears that that would be the angels. You know, they gather up the fish from the net afterwards. So we're not that either. So if we're not the net or the boats or the fishermen, that only leaves one thing. We're the fish, right? I'm a fish. You're a fish. We're all fish. And we've got all kinds of fish. We got, you know, big fish and little fish and skinny fish and fat fish and pretty fish and ugly fish. And we've even got some like muddy old catfish. Okay. And the problem is when I just said that, y'all started laughing because y'all thought about somebody. Okay. Y'all need to. I caught you. All right. Maybe you're the muddy old catfish. You don't even know. Okay. So, yeah. Hey, that ain't right. Okay. All right. So anyway, we have a little bit of everything and we are the fish. For some reason, and you know, it ends up making sense, but for some reason in this metaphor, we want to be in the net. Okay. We don't want to, you know, be in the water. We want to get into the net and we want to be this beautiful fish that is, appealing and worth some money so that we can make the cut. But the problem is that fish don't define which fish are valuable. They don't, do they? No, the when they get into the net, they have no ability to define which fish is going to make the cut. The head fisherman would decide which fish do. And, you know, that just comes from the fact that we aren't, and fish aren't, okay? Fish are not the brightest creatures, okay? And honestly, you could do a study on the Bible and all the creatures that were called, and it never typically is something very bright. You know, we're sheep sometimes in the Bible. Sheep are not bright animals. And here we're fish, and fish aren't very bright either because, you know, you can throw something really pretty in the water or really ugly, depending on the fish. And, you know, a fish will be sitting there, you know, with his fish buddies, and he'll be like, "Oh, that ugly thing has a hook in it, you know. They're not getting me." And then, like, 2 minutes later, plop, and they're like, ooh, that's pretty. And they don't even see the hook. And to be honest, that kind of sounds like a lot of us with sin. I mean, me included. And so you can see how we kind of relate to a fish. But that whole analogy is not why we're here, because we're not talking about a hook. We're talking about a net. So, we're fish and we're all caught up in this net, which is like the good news of the gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. And you could also say that Jesus and God the Father are probably, you know, the boat captains. And, although it doesn't say this, okay, so this is a little bit of a Jacob spin here. I like to think of the boats, all right, and you can do this too if you want, as grace and truth. Because really, in this story, more than likely, they're talking about a net that is being held in tension between two boats to gather as many fish as possible. And they would drive these boats out to sea, and they would pull one net that was held in tension between the two boats and gather up as many fish as possible. And so it would only make sense, in my mind, that these two boats, piloted by God Himself, are grace and truth, holding the tension of the gospel. And so, it becomes this so perfect analogy when you think about it. And they're just gathering us into this net. And then here we are, the fish, you know, we're just in the net. That's us. We're fish caught in the net, and we are ready to meet the captain and show him how awesome of a fish we are. Like, I am an awesome fish. Like, look at me. But then we, as we're caught in this net, we look around at the other fish around us and we're like, yeah, see, like that fish is ugly. See, I'm going to make the cut. And then we look at another fish and we're like, ooh, that fish is kind of pretty. Maybe I am in trouble. And we start to look it around and we're like, uh-oh, like, whew, are we going to make it? But that's because we forget that fish don't set the standard for which fish are going to make it and which aren't. The head fisherman does. And y'all starting to see a similarity here? Yeah, maybe. So we look around us and we start thinking that we know exactly who's going to make the cut. We start looking around and we're like, yeah, okay, so that fish looks good enough and that fish looks good enough. And we completely lose sight of what we're even there to do in the first place, because we don't set the standard. God does. And so some of us, you know, will be found pleasing to God and some of us won't. But we don't have the ability to see the way God does, to know who is going to be found pleasing and who isn't. And some of us, we are really pretty fish that are going to be tossed aside because we never knew God. And some of us, man, we're going to be scarred up from our past and maybe not be the prettiest, but we were exactly the kind of fish we needed to be. Now, here's another thought that's interesting. This is, as I was studying for this, this popped out as interesting to me. You want to know the fish that were most often cast out of the net? It is the bottom dwellers. It is the bottom dwellers. They were considered unclean. And so as they would go through there and they would catch up all kinds of fish, the most common one that would get tossed out was the ones that dwelled on the bottom. And so we would think of catfish, shrimp, you know, things like that that are caught at the bottom that are unclean for Jewish people. And I think this adds to this perfect analogy. Because if God is the head fisherman and there are two boats called grace and truth pulling this net of the kingdom to gather as many fish as possible, then the fish that are the ones deemed unclean and unworthy are not any, they are the ones that are furthest from God. If God is up here driving the boat and the bottom dwellers are way down here, it would only make sense that they would be the ones furthest from God. And the ones that even though they made it into the net, they do their best to stay as close to the bottom as possible because that's where they're comfortable. Far from God is where they're comfortable. And so the other fish, you know, caught in the net, they may swim all around in there. They'll get close to the top, you know, and at times in our lives, I know we can all relate to times where we really just feel close to God. And then at times they may get down close to the bottom, and I think we can all relate to that too. And then they can get close to one side or the other, which adds to that grace and truth analogy. But most of the fish that are going to make the cut are not just content with looking down at the bottom and pulling away from God. Now, this is a lot from a fishing metaphor, and I need you to hang with me, you bunch of flintlock woods. Are y'all with me? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay? All right. No. Hey, listen. It's fine. Hang in there. All right? Because we're getting somewhere. This message from Jesus is so important because it does more than just paint a picture of how we'll be separated and sorted. It shows us, really, if you think about it, our role in all of this. Because in reality, we're just supposed to get into the net and help others get in too. We're not meant to tell other fish that they're not going to make the cut. And we're not meant to try and clean up the other fish in the net so that they'll make the cut. That would be consistent with the bottom dweller. They're the ones that clean up the other fish. And we aren't meant to get in the net and tell others that they don't belong. We're meant to tell them that they do. This is where you belong, and that we are headed to our destiny. As odd as it sounds, this is where we want to be. And that the head fisherman, he's here for us and he wants to see us. And so we are just supposed to get in the net and stay close to him, because God will sort it out. It's not our job to sort the other fish. God's going to do that. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this sermon for the rest of our time together into four main points. Okay. And so we're going to get into the first one first. So you can throw that first main point up on the screen. And the first one is super simple. and it's get into the net. And really, when I wanted to make this, I wanted to make sure that this was point number one because it's so important. And when I was trying to figure out how to say this, because in all reality, that sounds like something that you wouldn't want to do. And a lot of people don't, because what this really is us dying to self. It's us realizing that what we think should be our destiny may not be our destiny. But we're to get in the net and die to ourselves. It sounds crazy, but I promise this net is where you all are supposed to be. It's where we're all supposed to be. So if you don't find yourself in the net of the kingdom, that's a decision that you absolutely have to make. And so if you're here today and you're like, I don't know if I'm in that net. Well, please talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to Tyler whenever he gets back. Talk to Kevin. Talk to anybody. Talk to someone that you trust that knows Jesus. And any of us would love to help you start that process. So just talk to someone. Point number two. Stop trying to figure out who belongs. This is super important. Focus on God and your relationship, your proximity to Him at the intersection of grace and truth. We don't have the ability to know who belongs. We don't. You have no ability. I have no ability. We don't know who belongs in the net. And that's because we have no ability to see the way that God does. We just don't. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says that the Lord sees not as man sees, but He looks on the heart. We look at outward appearance. And this passage in 1 Samuel that I didn't put on the screen, so that's okay, is super interesting because God in that passage is talking about David. And any of you that have been studying the Bible for any length of time know that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, he also did some horrible things. And at points in his life, he was the worst of the worst. He committed adultery. He murdered somebody. I mean, you could probably make a big old long list of the mistakes and the sins that David had committed. And yet, in this moment, God knew what David was going to do. He knew what he had already done. He knew what he would do the rest of his life. And yet, God tells Samuel in this passage, he's like, look, you just need to anoint who I tell you to anoint because David is a man after my own heart. And in all reality, if we didn't see David as this wonderful Bible character and we just saw the things that he'd done, we would think, guess what? He probably wouldn't make the cut. And that's because we do not see as God sees. And so listen, everybody is going to be sorted just like you. You're going to be sorted. I'm going to be sorted. And so we just need to stop trying to figure it out and let God do the sorting. So just get people in and show them how to look to the fishermen. Don't tell them, show them. Show them. Live by example. Number three, don't be a bottom dweller. Now, fish have no ability to choose whether or not they're a bottom dweller. They're kind of born that way. But we have a choice. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Don't try your best to maintain a life far from God. Don't get comfortable at the bottom. Like, I'm in the net, but I'm real comfortable down here as far as I can be because when I get up towards the top, it starts to make me uncomfortable at the way that I've been living my life. Don't do that. And definitely, along with that, don't make the mistake of trying to clean up the other fish in the net. When I think about this, I think about another wonderful animated movie, and more people have probably seen this, Finding Nemo. Anybody seen Finding Nemo? Okay. You probably, most of you have. If you think about Finding Nemo, you think about the little, Nemo is dropped in the little fish tank, there's a shrimp in there, and what is he doing? Anybody know? What's the shrimp doing? He's cleaning everybody. Nemo gets in there, they drop him in the tank, and he's like, oh, I gotta clean this guy, and he runs over there, and he's like, and he cleans up the fish, okay, and he's like, okay, we're good, he's clean. Okay, don't make the mistake of thinking that that is your role, because that very thing that you think is helping, I'm going to clean up all of these other fish, is the very thing that can fill you with what makes you unclean. Trying to clean up everybody else, it leads to bitterness, it leads to anger, it leads to self-righteousness, it leads to all of these things that make you the very kind of fish that you're not supposed to be. And so you have to make sure that you are not making that mistake. and trying to clean up everybody else. We'll all come in a little dirty, okay? Nemo came in a little dirty into that tank. We're all going to come in a little dirty from this world. But it's not our responsibility to clean anybody up or ourselves up. Jesus did that for us. And so it's our responsibility to just make sure that we maintain a relationship with Jesus and lead others to do the same thing, because it's His responsibility to clean. Number four, last one, help make it easy for others to get in. This is something that should be second nature to us, self-explanatory, but for some of us it isn't. So to elaborate on this, I think that it's super important that we know that we are not supposed to start setting standards that put hoops to jump through for people to get into the net. Don't yell out standards from the net like, you know, this is where you should be, but you need to make sure you're this and not this. And don't bother getting in the net if you have these characteristics. No, we're just supposed to help other people get in. And this is a concept that we see spelled out in Acts in the early church. And some Pharisees that are now following the way of Jesus, they start to say that all the new Gentile believers that are coming to Jesus, they're supposed to be circumcised, because that was the law. We were all supposed to be circumcised. And so they're like, hey, they've got to start doing that. And a lot of the Gentiles are like, whoa, I don't know if I want to be a part of this if I have to go through that. And so the apostles, they get together and they all talk about it and they're like, oh. And at the end of their conversation, they realize that that's not what it's about. And after they get together, James comes out and he says in Acts 15:19, which I do think I put in there somewhere on the screens. In Acts 15:19, it says, therefore, in my judgment, we should not cause difficulties for those among the Gentiles who turn to God. And see, they knew that God was beginning to work through the Gentiles. And the last thing they wanted to do was put something in the way, like a stumbling block, like, okay, yeah, you can come in here, but you have to do this thing that sounds horrible first before you can even have a relationship with God. This is a prerequisite. And because of that, they were causing people to not come into the kingdom. And the reason why the apostles thought it was important they say this is because they knew that true obedience comes out of a relationship with God, not learning the rules. You can learn all the rules you want, but obedience does not come from just, I have to know the rules and make sure I follow them, because that was the law. The relationship with God is what leads to even wanting to follow the rules in the first place. And so the apostles knew, like, they're going to get into the kingdom, and if God convicts their heart to do this, then they're going to do this. But we have to make sure that we don't put something in the way that keeps them from coming to a relationship with God. And so, man, we are just supposed to help others get into where we are and let God worry about the rest. And it's not that we're supposed to get in and encourage people to have sinful lifestyles and do whatever you want or anything like that. But it is not our job to clean people up, especially outside of relationship. When you get in relationship with people, and you always will hear me advocate for having people that hold you accountable in your life and that sort of thing, but it's always in relationship. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. And so I want to make sure I emphasize the importance of not making that mistake. Don't get in the way. And this idea of a wide net that we have broken down today, it just is about getting as many people as possible. And it comes straight out of the mouth of Jesus. Like, Jesus said this himself. And in the end, he wants us to know that this wide net is going to have all kinds of people in it. And it is going to have some people in it that don't make the cut. But it's not our responsibility to know which ones. And there's even going to be some people that make you feel uncomfortable in the net. There's going to be people that believe differently than you, theologically, politically, socially, you name it. There's going to be people that make you uncomfortable. But we can't start thinking that just because we are the ones, we made it into the net, and so we're good and they're not. We can't start thinking that way. And lastly, I want to make sure I emphasize that getting into the net and saying, okay, well, like, you know, I prayed this prayer and, you know, I got baptized and, you know, whatever, so I'm good. and I don't have to worry about it for the rest of my life. That is also not the case. And coming to church and making sure you're here every Sunday is a wonderful thing. This is a wonderful place. But this church is also not the net. And coming to church, you know, and this is a stolen line from somebody else, but coming to church makes you a Christian about as much as putting your head in the oven makes you a biscuit. Anybody heard that? Yeah? It's about the same. You can put your head in the oven all you want. It's not going to make you a biscuit. And it's the same way with coming here. This is a great place. You should come here, okay? But that doesn't mean just because you come here and you're like, I'm here every Sunday. You know, I give and stuff. That also doesn't mean you're going to make the cut. Your proximity to God does. Your relationship with God does. And so all we're supposed to do is get in the net, make sure that we're close to God and that others can do the same. And He will work out the rest. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You again for my opportunity to speak this morning. I thank You for all these people. And Lord, I pray that as we go through the week and as we go through our lives, Lord, that You would remind us that that's what's important. That getting into the net is important and making sure we don't get in the way of others. Making sure that we don't try and stay at the bottom just because we're comfortable. Lord, I pray that as we go through our lives, that You would help us to remember these parables that You've given us to tell us about Your kingdom, how it all works. And Lord, I pray that as we go home today, that if we took away nothing else from this parable, God, that we would remember that You're there for us. That as we're caught up in this net, that all we have to do is focus on You and allow You to do the rest. In Jesus' name, amen.